You know who else is on our coaching tree? James Hamm. Mm. I don't care that James was on TV before. Mm-hmm. I don't care that he was on NBC Sports California before. He had no personality until he joined D'Lo and KC.
James might be James Harden.
Yeah, but James...
They let him go. They didn't trade him, but...
I think James blossomed under us.
Agreed. So you're Daryl Morey.
God damn it. Well, I got bad news for you, pal. I'm going to sign you to a big contract, and you're never going to play again. Jesse,
You're Daryl Morey, and I'm Monty McNair.
Oh, great.
Our guy Matt George was not a fan of the James Harden comp.
Yeah, I told you, he probably don't want to be.
He was not a fan of the comp. We gave him Jalen Brunson.
Yeah. Oh, that was. Oh, God, that's in all caps. He sent that word in all caps.
Yeah, he texted like, we're giving you props.
No.
Well, no. Shout out.
The text.
Big up Matt George. I'm not on the group.
I think he sent it to us individually.
Yeah, we got separate ones.
Because it says.
We both got separate ones, yeah.
I'll let you guess the first word, but the last four words are all the way off.
You don't want to be James Harden.
See, I got a four-letter word and then a U after that.
James Harden, one of the greatest, man. Come on, Matt, don't do that. Don't
me
do that.
Being James Harden explains why Damian hates me.
That does make sense.
One of the greatest, man.
One
of the greatest.
Daryl Morey. Yeah. Goodness. Well, how did this start? Oh, Will Z. Yeah, good luck.
Shout out Will Z.
Championship run in the Kings media.
Hey, we were the first. Madness. I think we were the first ones to put Brendan on.
That's a good call.
I miss Brendan.
I think
Brendan.
So, too.
Yeah, I don't think Brendan had done this stuff before.
I was like KD living a Thunder.
Who, Brendan?
Brendan was with us, and then they went to the Warriors after that.
Oh, they are not the Warriors.
Yeah, you got to work with me. Work with me here. Work with me here.
KD going to the Suns. Going to the Suns.
It's like the Nets. Like, they're trying.
Yeah, let's skip 1 year. let's skip one part of KD's career.
I ain't going to say no name.
Say it. Stop.
No,
stop.
I'm really
stop
not.
Doing that.
I'm really
you
got
to stop doing that.
People don't be knowing when we're joking, but I was going to say.
We're joking down.
We're joking Chris right Watkins now. Over here.
Well, no. Somebody. I don't know who it is. Somebody's Bradley Beal. Thought they was doing. They thought they was doing something when they traded for Brad.
I don't want to play no more.
I don't say it. I don't want to play no more.
No.
Hey, text it though.
I'm talking about the scene. I'm talking about the team, not any of the people.
Text it. But yeah, I don't want to play
no
more.
No, I really don't. Seriously, I don't have nobody in mind. I was just going with the Phoenix thing.
Liar.
They got KD.
Yeah, you have someone in mind.
I don't. If I think hard enough.
Since we're talking about those guys over there. And I've told him this, and I talk to him every time I get to see him. I love talking to him. Kyle Draper made yesterday's game feel like 10 buzzer beaters happened.
That's what he does.
it felt like
he does.
Zach LaVine is on fire, and I'm like, yo, there's 8.5 minutes left.
No, he had one too, and this is my man.
Oh,
I'm not even saying this in like a being a smart ass way. It's just I'm okay with it, right? But he goes, oh, Zach LaVine, have a first quarter, 7 points.
Sometimes sometimes you gotta do up these Kings games.
Man, like he'll make you feel the call. Like he will absolutely make you feel the call, and you'll wonder how, like, Drapes, how much time is left?
I thought LaVine had like a 25-point first quarter. He's like, he's got 7 now.
This isn't his fault. This is NBC's fault. They did Orlando. It was that goddamn Orlando game. They put Doug McDermott in, and Doug hit
it. Yeah, they set him up. No, they set him up, man. They did that to my boy Drapes, man. I saw that.
Doug McDermott hit the three. They caught, what's his name? Jamal Mosley calls timeout. It's a freaking 40-point game. They come back from commercial, And they have Drapes do this thing about all of these threes that Doug hit when he hit like six or whatever it was in it. And he goes, "Can Doug do it again?" He hit his first shot, and I'm like, "Oh my god,
yo!"
He just hit one shot, and the Kings are down 27.
And if I'm thinking correctly, they even like reference like they because the one we always think about is like that Jazz game at home where he had 18 points and like 4 minutes or something like that. They didn't even use that game. They used the Nuggets game where they still lost by like six. They were down by 20 and they – all right, man. Nah, they did my boy Drapes wrong.
That was foul.
They set him up.
That was not his fault.
That was a setup.
And what these people – what these producers don't realize sometimes, it's like when people like give us something that like – I mean, it's a joke, but the NIT is coming up next. Well, no, actually, it's 6:15. Well, when you make the mistake and hand me a paper that says 4 o'clock, I'm the one that looks dumb. I just kept thinking, why is Drapes doing this?
What if Drapes said no?
Then I realized Drapes didn't cut the video.
Yeah, right. It wasn't his call.
Like, why are they doing this to my guy?
Drapes is like, no, I'm not doing it. You can play the video all you want. I'll stand here silent.
I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to say nothing.
Speaking of the game yesterday.
I hope he's making calls like that tonight because it means things are going well.
Yes, indeed. Two things about that game last night because I have it on the screen right now as I wait for another baseball game to start. Kind of forget, like we hadn't talked about, and maybe – not giving enough credit to these guys for this. Kings were down in that third quarter.
Yeah.
And fought back to, they were up by 12.
Oh, James is here.
Oh, hey, James. What's going on, brother?
Racing back from the airport.
They were down and ended up being up 12. They should have been up by 14. They gave up that layup at the end of the quarter. Like, what the hell was that?
Oh.
But when DeAndre Hunter was just wide open.
Yeah.
So they did that. And then also, I just came across the part where, I mean, I thought Donovan Mitchell had maybe jumped into the stands for a foul ball, you know, and broken his forearm. I was like, oh, this is going to be terrible. You know, man, he's going to be out for the rest of the game because everybody's over there. It's just all bad. And 4 minutes later, Donovan's back in the game.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Wait, what? I mean, I'm glad he's okay, but all the pomp and circumstances they did when he was down, I thought it was very Tatum-ish, although Tatum didn't even come back in the game.
Hey, what does that mean?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well.
We were just watching a LeBron clip the other day. Use him.
Not to go with.
You know what play we haven't referenced at all is Keon at the half.
At half, yeah. Felt like a big moment.
Keon, I mean, it was like, oh, that's not, I don't think that's nothing. And then, you know, it got, build momentum.
About it because they were down by like nine in the third.
Yeah, he came up big. You know, he had four steals in the first half. And then at some point, I think someone said it was on the dunk. Like he hurt his hand on the dunk, which is what's made him questionable today. Although it does look like, I think he's going to play. Just because
he's still listed as questionable.
Keegan's been ruled out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess if one's ruled out and one has not been ruled out, that one of them is starting. Probably. But we'll see. Yeah, he's been he's starting to figure out how to be effective with the other group.
Yeah. I thought he had some big time moments yesterday. You talked about the steals. I thought he had some big time threes as well. You know, just like regular threes, catch and shoot joints. That was a really, we're down on the Kings just in general in this region right now. But that was it was literally the best response you could ask for after losing that game on Wednesday. Handling business against Charlotte and then finding a way, kind of shorthanded to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland from that team. And that was good stuff. Like I said, we're down, so we're not going to, like, hype it up too much, I guess, because they've got a lot of making up to do. But that was a big-time performance yesterday by those guys.
Yeah, I kind of wonder what would make it comfortable to hype them again. I mean, would they have to win every game?
Game and then one be, of the
Well, no, but I think
game
if
one of the Western Conference first round.
But if they win the next four games, you'd think, okay, well, they're going to handle Dallas, and then we'd have to.
But you should not think like that with
ever.
This team.
Never. Ever. No. No, but that's the thing, though. You're watching him, you're like, that was a really impressive win.
Mm-hmm.
What I liked about it is that Sabonis, they ran everything through Sabonis. He was so dominant in the first quarter, he set the physicality standard for the entire game. So everybody's like, get out of the way. Like, Jared Allen had no idea what to do with him at all. He just bruised that kid. Mm-hmm. Then, once you got past that, it became, hey, let's feature Zach LaVine. Let's get Zach LaVine a bunch of touches. And then you had a bunch of moments where DeMar DeRozan's bringing the ball up and just initiating the offense, and I thought he was really good. If you can get him to where it feels right and in the flow of the offense, that's one thing to shoot the ball. When it's like a whole bunch of forced jumpers, and I think one of the reasons why he stopped doing it in this game is because they kept putting Evan Mobley on him, and there's just no way for him to get his jumper off over Evan Mobley. So he was able to find space. But I thought if you could get those three moving that way and then like repeat that for the next, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 games, whatever it is that you might get to play, that's where I think that this team could actually find something. It's with a major lead, number one, in Sabonis, with a huge scorer in Zach LaVine, and then DeMar DeRozan doing everything else that he needs to do. So, yeah, I thought it was one of their most impressive wins. And from start to finish, you know, they had the letdown there in the early fourth quarter and stuff, but they bounced back. They looked like they were under control most of the game.
I think the thing that confuses people so much is it's two games removed from the Washington game.
Yeah.
Like, you went out there and you know, we gloss over Charlotte. Like, I don't take anything lightly anymore. You beat Charlotte.
Right.
You kind of beat them the way most Kings fans are like, yo, go out there. Don't make this a game.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let this be in question. Go out there and take care of business. And they were able to do that. But I think everyone is so, and rightfully so, by the way, uncomfortable because of what happened against Washington.
Yeah.
And so to go out and play the way that they did on the first night of a back-to-back against Cleveland. The other thing, that's the second time they got Cleveland.
Wow.
I think Jay Ross tweeted Cleveland, Sacramento, and was it Houston? Atlanta.
Got Cleveland twice?
Got Cleveland twice, yeah.
Atlanta got
I think it was Houston.
Twice.
Oh, you know what? I'm using the wrong wording. He said the only two teams to sweep Cleveland this year were
Houston
and Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, though, because you look at the Kings were able to beat the Celtics as well this season. So they went 3-1 against the two best teams in the Eastern Conference, and then they lost to the worst team.
Yeah,
they have as many losses to the worst team as they do
the two top
against
teams.
The two top seeds. And we were talking about this earlier with me and Kyle were too. I think it's when Jesse was here for the handoff. This season and like last season to this season, it makes no sense. Like last season, the Kings lost 6 games to the Pelicans. This year, they swept them. Last season, they lost every game to the Houston Rockets. This year, they beat them 3-0. Or at least with the Pelicans, I think the Kings went 3-1. Like, make some sense out of this. Like, Houston's a better team. The Pelicans are a worse team. But, like, there is no making sense of this season at all.
I'll ask both of you guys this one. We talk about, like, what is going to get people to feel positive about what this team is doing. Would a win tonight do that?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so because you get the win tonight, then we're sitting around watching Warriors Suns. The Warriors bounce back, get that win. Then you kind of exhale a little bit like, okay, the Kings they're going to make the postseason. Mm-hmm. Now you wonder, can they finish 500? And can the game be at home?
Yeah, I think those are the next steps, right? Like I wrote about it yesterday, but posted today. There is a possibility here that the Kings somehow, like if they lose out here but still make the play-in, there's a chance that they still get to keep their pick.
Mm.
Because all these other teams are all fighting for wins. 2 weeks ago, the Kings were so far above the Eastern Conference teams in the standings that this wasn't a question. But then all of a sudden you got Chicago, you've got Orlando, you've got Atlanta, you've got, there's one other team there. The Heat, yeah. The Heat that are all fighting for position. And they've caught, like, two of them have caught the Kings at 38 wins or 38, and I think Atlanta's at 37. Like, the Kings just need to somehow get to number 12 or number 11 in the draft lottery, and they get to keep their pick. So, again, if they're the 10th spot in the Western Conference, there's a legitimate chance that they will actually, as long as they don't make the playoffs, mm-hmm. they don't win two play-in games. There's a legitimate shot for them to actually be, to keep their pick.
What would you prefer happens? What would you like this? What, like if you had your, because I know you said this before, they're going to, you know, lose in four to Oklahoma City. And that's not like a crazy way of thinking. So what would you, if you could lay this next week and a half out, what would it look like?
I think it just depends on what perspective you're looking at. So as someone who, you know, has had a long-term relationship with Doug Christie, and, you know, I hope good things for Doug, and good things for Doug would mean that they come close to winning out, and, you know, maybe they go 2-2 here in the final four and they're in the play-in and you get to fight, you know, and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I could also make the argument that, like, it might be better for the Kings not to have the 12th pick or the 13th or the 14th pick in this year's draft. You know, if somehow it moves into the top four, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. But to not have that pick and to know that from here on out, July 1st hits, the slate is clean and you own all of your picks moving forward. You have some second round picks that are gone, but you've got your own picks from 2026 until 2032, and you have two extra picks. So now you have 9 first round picks that you're playing with. You get your 26 and 27 second round picks back because they're no longer encumbered by the whole Kevin Huerter trade. It, you know, you got some other second round picks that you picked up in the De'Aaron Fox trade. So all of a sudden you go from really having like the cupboards, you know, bare to whoever is taking over this team, or if it's Monty, but whoever is going to make the decisions moving forward, have like a full deck to play with.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably the best case scenario for this team, is just to forget whatever happened here this season, to make some difficult decisions this summer as far as roster moves and everything else. It's potentially packaging one or two or three of your first round picks with a player or two to go get something better that fits better and it makes more sense for your roster. That's probably the reset button that I think makes the most sense and would help this franchise not just take like a catastrophic tank, you know, fall off from where they even are right now, which isn't in a good spot.
Well, and that's probably like the way you laid it out there. It's probably best for them and most realistic, because I think we've talked about this and we're in agreement. Even if people want a teardown, number one, probably isn't going to happen. It almost can't happen with some of the guys you have on the roster.
Yeah.
So being able to kind of get from under the Kevin Huerter trade, have everything out there in front of you. Like, you don't, there's no holdups anymore, and you can make whatever deals you need to make to kind of improve the team. Cause I think that's where this team is at with the Sabonis contract and the LaVine contract. You can't just tear it down. So in this particular situation, like you just laid out, you kind of get the full complement of picks that you have, and you can either decide, hey, we're going to build through that or use those for trade.
Yeah, that, and I think if they do go a different direction and Monty McNair isn't retained moving forward, I think it's a lot more enticing of a job if you can say, hey, look, this is what we got. We've got every pick from 2026, every first-round pick from 2026 to 2032, and an additional unprotected 27 from the Spurs and an unprotected from Minnesota in 2031. This is what we got to offer as far as a job. You've got movable contracts. Now, again, just to warn people that if they do make a full, like, sort of purge here of the front office, that could mean that the next group has a different opinion on Keon Ellis. It could mean they have a different opinion on Keegan Murray. And those are going to be their decisions to make and very difficult decisions to make. I mean, how much do you pay Keegan Murray this summer? Do you opt out of the Keon Ellis deal and make him a restricted free agent and then lock him up long term? Like, all of these things have to kind of fall into place. And to be honest, I don't think we have any idea what exactly, like, who they're going to chase if they do go after a new front office personnel, you know, decision maker. And not only that, but what that means for everybody else. Because I can tell you, like, if Vlade Divac was walking back through that door, which is some of the rumors out there, that Vlade's...
I think he already walked through it.
Well, he's been there for a while. But whether he's going to be part of the decision making, like, this is just the example. Like, if Vlade was truly part of the decision-making in December and January, I do not believe that De'Aaron Fox would have been traded. That was his guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, things change very quickly in the NBA, whether it's a coach change or front office change. Like, when that happens, like, all bets are off for who means what to anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be somebody walks in the door and says, hey, I don't deal with 6'10" centers that we have to run the ball through. I'm not doing that. And I'm going to move him. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that could happen here.
Whew, okay. Well, that's the future. We've got basketball tonight. This is a tough Detroit Pistons team. Allegedly, I think a fun subplot into this game, and I know you and a lot of Kings fans have been frustrated with the way that Malik has played over the last stretch of games, how he just can't seem to really find himself, find his shot. But the long-rumored other team that was really in hot pursuit of Malik Monk this offseason was, in fact, the Detroit Pistons. It certainly looks a lot different than it did at the time because we knew Detroit had money. We knew they had a need, and we thought, well, if someone's going to throw money at Detroit or somebody's going to throw money at Malik, it's going to be a bad Pistons team. And here they are just comfortably waiting for the playoffs to start. But I think that's a little fun subplot to tonight's game, like for those in the know. And I think we're all pretty confident that that's what happened this year.
Yeah.
This,
like,
offseason.
Like, look, Malik needs to find himself. Like, we always talk about how important he is as a player for this team. But what we've seen from him since going to the bench, like, I think he's had one game that was okay. Mm-hmm. The rest of it is just out of control, and, like, I don't even know what to make of it. Wide open misses, inexcusable turnovers. Like, the turnover thing is something that I just, you know. And look, Doug Christie, for all the things that people want to say out there, whether they think he's a good coach or not or whatever they are at this point, like, he made the tough decision to stick with Keon Ellis and, like, play it out with Malik Monk on the bench the other night in the win over the Cavs. Like, that's not an easy decision to make. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes, but to be honest, that's where we've been heading for maybe 2 weeks. Like, Malik just has not played well. And, like, there isn't a lot of confidence in what's happening. There has to be a moment where he just settles back into the role. At least you would hope. And we're still waiting for it. And until that happens, you know, I think we will see nights where he plays 20 minutes, other nights where he's playing 30 plus because you have to. But, you know, to see Doug go to his starters and play each of them 40 minutes, that was absolutely crazy, especially on the first night of a back-to-back. He went all in. He did this once before, and it cost him 2 games. This time, he got one of them, and it probably cost him the second game. We'll have to see how they play tonight against Detroit. But, you know, still, this is a team that played 5 guys 40 minutes last night, got on a plane and flew to a different city in the middle of the night.
And they got to figure it out. Like I said earlier, get some C4, get some Red Bull, whatever you got to do, because you got to win these games. You know, you got to win these games. This isn't January anymore where you can use that as an excuse. You've got to find a way to win games back to back. You played heavy minutes and all this other stuff. And I would like to think they're up for that challenge, but like everybody else, I just don't know with this team right now. I just don't know.
Yeah.
At one point, I thought they were tough enough, or I had confidence that they were always going to be tough enough to be ready for moments like this. Last 2-3 weeks, I don't have that same type of confidence anymore, and we just don't know what we're going to – we don't, and that's the frustrating thing. Win or lose is something else. But we don't know what type of approach they're going to have to this game tonight. And that's the one that just frustrates everybody.
Yeah, I think it's one thing to not show up against good teams and be like, okay, well, I mean, this wasn't horribly unexpected, but, you know, you wish they would have played better. It's the one loss to Washington that just shakes you and says, okay, I'm not making any bets one way or another on this team from here on out. Yeah. Like, not this season. Next year is a new year. Today, I'm not touching anything about what this team is doing. Because you don't know. You don't know. And it's not the skill level. It's you don't know what type of heart, what type of like pride they're going to show up on the court with. And I didn't think we'd get to that point. But, you know, here we are. And like, look, you can't, you cannot lose to a Washington Wizards team that not only did they, do they have a bunch of players who are out or injured. Not only do they traded players at the deadline to get worse, but then when they were still playing with you in the third quarter, fourth quarter, they decided to sit the two guys that were actually playing well just to, so they could lose. And they still beat you. That to me is one of the most embarrassing losses I've ever seen this franchise have. And like, they're, that's the stink of that is going to be really tough to wash off some of these guys. Like, you just, how can you walk on the court and not even lay your jerseys down thinking you're going to win a game? That wasn't even that. I don't even know what that was. But to allow a team that willfully tried to lose the game, players never try to lose games, but the guy, like coaches, front office, everything, they make it so difficult to win a game and they still beat you. You know, like, again, no Jordan Poole, no Alex Saar down the stretch. Mm-hmm. They said, no, those guys were playing too good. We're not going to let them go out there and beat you. That to me is like one of the most embarrassing games I've ever seen from this team.
Well, hopefully that is a thing of the past because they got another game tonight. And then they got three at the Golden 1 Center. We'll talk about what this next week looks like with our insider from the insiders, our man James Hamm here with D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Oh, just James and KC complaining about officiating and technology.
Oh, I love it. I love it last night.
I didn't even look. Did the last 2-minute report come out? I didn't even look because I don't care.
They had a bunch of stuff. The Kings got the benefit on – well, not the benefit, but it all worked out for them a lot. Obviously, the LaVine shot clock. Like I said, I got the game on right here. They overturned the Donovan call. I don't even know. Was that a Kings challenge? They challenged it. The Kings challenged it, right?
No. Would that step out of bounds?
Yeah, no.
The foul of Trey Lyles.
Oh.
Because remember, they called Trey Lyles for a foul.
Oh, yeah.
And then they came back, reviewed it, and it showed the Lyles didn't touch him. I think the Kings did review that.
Doug won crazy. Two of them.
Yeah. The offensive foul on Sabonis, mm-hmm. That wasn't.
Yeah, the Donovan Mitchell play was crazy. That's an all-timer.
I don't know how they
found that one. That's an all-timer.
Why did they go to review on that?
Were they going to see if was a three?
Were they buzzed?
To confirm it was a three? No, I think they were reviewing something else, weren't they? On the Donovan Mitchell play? And then he stepped out of bounds.
Some people didn't know. And I don't blame them because I didn't know either.
I'm not sure what.
She couldn't see, Kenny. She can't see from her vantage point. So who knows? Who knows what's happening on the floor because she can't see from her vantage point?
That would have to have been Sakakis triggering the replay.
The best part is she sounds pissed. I don't know what they're reviewing. What are they looking at? I don't know what they could I was getting angry. I was like, yeah, what are they looking at? And then all of a sudden, Donovan Mitchell steps out.
Kings ball.
I
don't even care now.
We didn't know until they announced the call's overturned.
Could y'all tell Katie what you're looking at? Man, got everyone pissed. This is garbage.
But the Kings got the benefit of a lot. There was a play late-ish in the fourth quarter when I thought for sure Donovan would have gotten a foul called. He was shooting a three.
So they said Zach LaVine didn't release the ball in time and it was an incorrect call.
Oh. Now, oh yeah, now we got to get it right. Stop. Get out of here.
Let's see if there's a correct. That's the only one.
Okay, we got good news.
That's the only one.
According to our friend Jason Anderson, Sacramento Kings guard Keon Ellis has been cleared to play tonight against the Detroit Pistons, and the Detroit Pistons have ruled out Tobias Harris against the Kings, and Jalen Duren has been cleared to play.
Okay.
I think Jesse took less on Sabonis. Man, I need to change that.
Wait, you saying Duren's been cleared to play?
Yeah, Duren's gone.
Oh,
Duren's
I heard him.
Yeah, Duren's gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Casey hates Jalen Duren.
Wow. He does. Goodness gracious.
I really like Jalen Duren. He can't stay healthy.
I don't know why
but
Kenny's such a hater.
I do too. That's my boy, Jalen Duren.
I'm a little leery on Isaiah Stewart now.
Like, you think?
It just keeps getting worse.
James. Like,
all of a sudden, why? James had a change of heart, huh?
James was like, you know, I was really with this guy until the fifth suspension.
Well, hold on. What did you say? You said Duren is playing.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
He's available
Price
to play.
Picks will not play.
Who said that?
Prize Picks.
Oh.
Maybe they got updated. I don't know.
James Hams versus Prize Picks. Who's going to win?
No, I'm going off of Jason Anderson's tweets. So Jason Anderson tweets.
So Jason probably has the most up to date.
My hands are clean on this if it's wrong.
We'll just blame Jason.
No, my guess is Jason has the most up to date information. Is Jason there?
I believe he is.
Yeah. Okay, then he probably has the most up-to-date information.
I will
information.
Listen to Jason as well.
I'll check. The injury report has him listed as available. Oh, the injury report has Keon Ellis listed as available.
There it is.
But Tobias Harris is out. So is Ron Harper Jr. for those that were hoping to see him tonight.
Oh.
He's on his G League assignment.
Dylan's brother.
Stockton Kings in the G League finals.
Big ups to them. Where is the G League finals?
I have no idea.
It's a series.
I just know Mason Jones has played out of his mind.
Yeah, 47 the other
night. That's insane.
And then 38?
Like, what does this mean, James? Like, what is this?
They should shut down the G League because this is not helping anything.
Like, Mason is...
He can't make a shot in the NBA.
I feel bad for Mason because
he can't get a shot in the NBA.
He's the biggest 4A player I've ever seen. You know, they're in Major League Baseball, we know there are these players that... They just rip the cover off the ball at AAA, and they get to the bigs, and they can't hit, and they go back down, and they rip the cover off the ball. I just feel bad for Mason. You know, like, I was surprised Isaiah Crawford, he's played 15 games this year with the big club, and Mason's only played 10. And, you know, Mason, I don't believe, can be a two-way player moving forward. And so, you know, you're going to have to see what happens to him as a player. But he just really has played extremely well at the G League level. I mean, he shoots the lights out. He's put up triple doubles. Turns the ball over too much, but yeah.
He dominated. That's my boy Mace, too. But it just – he doesn't get a chance to play in the league. And when he does play, it just – it don't look right.
He looks like a player who's trying too hard.
Yeah.
Who's not comfortable.
And then he go back to Stockton and just goes crazy. Like, obviously, he can play. Obviously, there's a lot of skill there. But for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe he just hasn't found the right spot maybe in the NBA. Or he could just be a 4A player, like you mentioned. Like Brett Bowker. I remember him. He was a big 4A player.
Johnson for the A's.
Dan Johnson, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Double Rays. Like, just spectacular in the minors, gets up to the big leagues, can't hit home runs anymore.
They had, what's my man Duvall? They said that's what he was. What was his name? But he went to Cincinnati. He left the Giants, went to Cincinnati, and actually had two or three really good major league seasons. Mm. But he was like another 4A guy, too.
Yeah, this season with the in the
Adam
G League,
Duvall, thank you,
Kyle. 23.5 points, 7.2 assists, 5 rebounds. And Mason Jones is shooting 41.3% from three on nine attempts per game.
Come on.
He shot 47.7% from three last season.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Damn.
Devin Carter and Mason Jones would be like Shaq and Kobe and Stockton if you threw them both down there at the same time.
By the way, they were the play where Donovan stepped out, they called a foul on Keon.
Yeah.
So that's what happened.
That was
he stepped
the play.
Out. Before the foul.
Before the foul, yeah.
But right. The guy who called the foul was standing right there and made the call on Keon.
Yeah.
And then did they go back and review to make sure?
Because I think Doug called the challenge on the foul.
He had already used his two challenges.
Yeah, I think they might have been looking for the two or the three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe that's what they were looking at. Yeah.
Oh, so that's what I thought. That's what I thought they were looking at. The last 2 minute report says there was a foul called on it. So maybe they were looking to see the two or
it's on right here in the studio.
And because it's Keon, everyone just assumed he did it.
Yeah, and I yelled at my guy. It's
a 3-point shooter. Keon fouled him.
Clearly.
It's obviously what happened.
I yelled at my guy. And like I said, I got the broadcast on it right now. They're probably just trying to figure out what's going on. I don't have the volume up.
So. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, the play on the
You know what we didn't talk about that I don't know we'll have a lot of legs tomorrow is the Hall of Fame class was announced, and it's a good one.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It's a really, really good one. Dwight's going in. Obviously, we know Carmelo's going in. Billy Donovan is going in, which has got to be pretty dope for him, given he's still an active NBA coach. This is the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, for those that aren't paying attention. The 2008 Olympic men's basketball team, that'll always be my favorite one. They're going in. And then Birdie, Maya, and Sylvia Fowles are all heading in as well.
Yeah, this one right here is one
that is stacked.
Where I'll watch all the acceptance speeches.
Who closes that show?
Carmelo.
Huh.
Yeah, I think Melo does.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
Melo over Bird?
Yes.
Sue Bird?
No disrespect. Yes, absolutely.
The way you answered was kind of disrespectful. I guess Melo.
No disrespect. I realize it's done a little definitively.
I don't think it would be Dwight for sure.
I don't think it'll be Dwight either.
No. Yeah.
Although.
Unless they had who accepts for the Olympic team?
Probably
Coach K?
Oh, the 2008, right?
Yeah.
Coach K's a good one. I thought D Wade might do it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say. Nah, because it didn't end the right way. Like, as far as, like, he had too many just nondescript seasons. But was Dwight Howard the best player of this group? Of this group? Outside of, the Olympic team?
It's Maya. Maya's the best player in the group. Hmm. Like, Maya's
how many championships you got?
Four.
Yeah. 1,000. Like counting, well, I mean, WNBA, yeah, they, like she's got four WNBA titles, the UConn titles, the Ketchenberg or the overseas place that she plays.
Yeah, it's clear as day.
It's clear as day. Dwight's better than Melo?
That's the one. That's what I was
Dwight's
thinking about before I was
7-year run. 8 is 7 years? He might be.
And that's why I say.
I think he is, but I don't think it'll ever get told that way.
I don't think it will either.
Top 75. Well, Dwight's going to be like the footnote of
his class. I don't think it is because of the way it ended. And I don't mean that in like no weird way. Like he spent like another 7 years just
milling around the
league.
Yeah.
So did Melo. I mean, Melo's last 20-point season, he was 32. And he played another 5 years after that. 16, 13, 15, 13, 13.
I don't even think Dwight Howard had those, though.
No.
He had, 7-point game, 7 points per game and stuff like that. At least, I could be wrong. That's what it feels like, at least.
I would also make the...
Dwight won, 4 defensive player of the year, didn't he?
I don't want to be mean, but he played in the strangest era of basketball where the center position disappeared. So we went from the greatest run of centers where... again, look at all the Hall of Famers from the late 80s to early 90s. To early 2000s, whether it's Shaq, David Robinson, Hakeem, Dikembe Mutombo, Alonzo Mourning, Patrick Ewing. Like, you just keep going and going, Vlade. Like, there's all these great centers. And then all of a sudden we hit this weird void where Dwight Howard is the best player by so far at one position. And it wasn't because he was so much better than everybody else. It's that there wasn't really anybody who played the position that was worth their salt. And then we start having this this movement, starting with guys like Cousins and AD and Cat, like this whole new branch of centers that sort of reinvented the position, including now Jokic and everybody else. But that one 10-year period or 8-year period, there really weren't other centers in the league that were super formidable.
A couple of things. I said four. Dwight won the Defensive Player of the Year 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
His numbers are pretty goofy, but there is a number that is standing out. I'm going to sound like Michael Wilbon. This is going to be like the biggest old man take ever. 82, 81, 82, 82, 79, 82, 78. Those are the games he played in the first, what I just reeled off, 6 years of his career.
Mm-hmm. Seven.
In when he was 40, when he was 32 years old with Charlotte, he played 81 games.
Yeah.
Played 30 minutes per game for that team. I know like that's later Dwight, and you know it's always going to be looked at different. Man, I'm really struggling as to I, to be clear, I believe the answer is Maya, but I'm really struggling as to who I think is better between Dwight and Carmelo.
Maya, for sure. Between Dwight and Carmelo. Carmelo, as I look at him right now, and I know scoring isn't everything, but the first, if I have this right, 14 seasons of his career, he went no lower than 28.8 points per game. Only four of those seasons was he below 25 points per game. First 14 seasons of
Wait.
His career. The first from 03-04 to 16-17. He was 20 points per game the entire time.
I thought you said 28. I was like, I don't think that's correct.
No, 20.8.
Yeah. Oh, 20. That's the lowest okay, he got. Okay, I got 20. You. Peaked at 28.7.
Yeah.
Do I get any props for taking a team to the finals instead of like over Melo? Like Dwight was impactful.
Dwight beat LeBron, right?
Yeah, they both lost to the same team. They both lost to the same team. On their one run.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so that much.
Bustle to Kobe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tough one. The point is, this is a great class.
It is.
And it's I guess it's kind of cool. Dwight and I don't know how this works. Dwight and Carmelo are going in twice.
Yeah.
On the same night.
Yeah.
Maybe that's intriguing.
They're part of that. I mean, they're part of that 08 team.
Maybe they'll be the ones representing.
Who inducts Dwight? Who gives like the little free speech?
Well, it's got to be another Hall of Famer, right? A Hall of Famer has to present you.
Hakeem, maybe?
Stan Van Gundy have his jacket yet? Is he a Hall of Famer yet?
No.
It might be a lot. Maybe Olajuwon? Yeah. Maybe. Was Patrick Ewing in Orlando as a coach when Dwight was there?
Maybe so. Yeah, because he was with Stan Van, I think.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know who's going to be the guy who
D-Wade and a Doug Mello?
Probably. Yeah. Probably.
I don't know who inducts Billy Donovan. But good for Billy Donovan. Noah. He deserves it. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
No.
I don't think that's
Patino.
Funny.
Is Patino a Hall of Famer?
Oh, yeah.
That was it. Well, I didn't know if he got
Didn't
in
Rick yet. Patino just win Coach of the Year?
Yeah.
Patino and Bruce?
Yeah. Yeah, they deserve it too.
That is wild. Bruce Pearl and Rick Patino just won co-coaches of the year. That is crazy.
It's a trip.
In the year of 2025. Rick Pitino and Bruce Pearl. Good
that
for Bruce.
That is a trip. Pitino, that was...
Bruce is thriving in this shady era of NCAA basketball.
He cooking now. I think Billy Donovan played under Pitino at Providence, and they had like a tournament run or something like that, and then that was their connection early when Billy Donovan was coming up. So that's dope to see. Hey, I got a question. James, if Zach LaVine could realize his potential, shouldn't he be a Hall of Famer? Because you look at games like last night, and you look at his skill set and everything he's got in the bag, and you're like, what are you doing? Like, you have it all offensively. You are unbelievably gifted offensively. You just sometimes don't decide to shoot. I wouldn't even say like show up. I guess you could say show up, but it's not even like he'll just pass the whole time. And it's like you see him last night. You see the way he's shooting the three ball, the way he's getting to the basket. And it's like you can do this every single night.
Well, the crazy thing is he did it against one of the best defensive teams, you know, who has a bunch of long athletic defenders to throw at him. And so I don't know what to make of him, man. I think there is a vision here where you can build a team around Zach and Keon and Keegan and Domas and maybe Malik Monk and then, you know, add some other pieces. I think there is a way in which you can do it. But what you can't do is you can't have multiple players that have to be in the perfect situation to find success. Because it's one thing if you got one of those guys, but when you start getting into, you know, Keegan Murray and you start getting into Zach and, you know, some of the other guys, the other pieces, like those guys have to be in a perfect situation, it feels like, in order for them to find the right success, at least to find sustained, like consistent success. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think, like, again, Zach LaVine is tremendously gifted as an offensive player. And I don't see any reason why him and Domas couldn't create just this just incredible pairing of scorers. And then, you know, you'll have a third scorer and then you'll have a bunch of 3-and-D guys around him and all that stuff. I think there is that world. But, man, this 30, 25, 30 game run, it just like highlights the frustration of him as a player. Because
and last night was probably unbelievably frustrating as him not taking shots.
Of course it is.
Because it's like, bro, this is what you can do. Why are we messing around with you taking 5 shots in a game when you can do this?
Yeah, it's tough.
I wasn't happy. It was even more frustrating.
The potential
every three
of
Zach LaVine is, oh, this guy. This God. Guy.
Look at him go now.
Oh, look at now you want to shoot. Now you want to beat the top seed in the East. Oh, great.
Yeah. Soren Smith in the chat says, Zach the Enigma, LaVine. And it's a good way. Like, it's just so hard to put your finger on what exactly isn't. It's not that it's totally wrong. It's just something's not right. And so you're wondering the whole time, like, man, is there a way to fix that? Like, whatever it is that's inside of you. But again, that's why I brought up Keegan Murray in the same discussion, because we keep feeling the same way. Is there just a way to fix the fact that he doesn't, you know, he's not aggressive every night, that he doesn't go to the lane and dunk on people? And then when he does do it, you're like, what in the world? Like, you have that in you, but you choose not to. And again, I don't know how to fix either one of them.
Well, DeMar had himself a nice little night last night.
He did. Yeah.
They did. Air horns for DeMar, too. Number 26.
Well, 26 past Jerry West. Yeah.
Yeah, we're on KSFM. We were looking at DeMar. The funny thing about DeMar, Hammer, is this is who he is. Like, we've looked at assist numbers, rebounded, like, everything about DeMar DeRozan that he's doing this year. He is exactly the player he has been his entire career. Like, bar for bar, step for step, the exact same.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's been exactly that this year for the Kings. It's why the dialogue around him has been so weird. Now, if you wanted to argue that he didn't fit with this team, then that's okay. Like, you can make that argument because you'd understand that. But people who wanted him to play different, it's like, have you watched him the other 16 seasons he's been in the league?
Yeah.
This is him.
No, there's a body of work. And, you know, we talked a lot about this when they traded for LaVine. Like, you understand there's 11 years worth of, like, track record. Like, you're not going to get a different player than what you're getting. And we can sit here and hope and pray that Zach LaVine decides to be that good for 82 games. But I think what we're now realizing is that we probably didn't go back and look at the stats to see how many 30-point games and how many 10-point games he had with the Bulls. You know, there's a lot of different ways to average 20 a game for a season. And some guys average between 18 and 22, and some guys average between 10 and 30. And I'll take the dude who averages between 18 and 22 every single night over the guy that that averages, you know, that's all over the board. And I think it's something that, you know, specifically with when it comes to Sabonis, like, you know exactly what you're getting from Domas every night. And I'd say the same exact thing for DeMar. Like, DeMar has scored 20 so many times this season. And if it's not 20, it's 18. If it's not 18, it's 27. Mm-hmm. Like he's right there in a grouping of scorers. You know, like his entire like scoring chart for the season is going to look very, very consistent. And that's a good thing to have. It's just that some of the games that he has, you know, he can have 20, but he also had some rough shooting spots in the exact wrong point of the game.
Any guesses as to what happens tonight?
Kings win tonight.
All right.
Kings win tonight. Pal. All
not right, buying that pal. One. Yeah. We'll see.
I hope you're right. I hope we see them come out and play as well as they did yesterday against Cleveland. Either way, we'll be here to recap it beginning at 10 a.m. With James and Kyle on the Insiders. Until then, we'll see you here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Kings, light the beam.